Well, good morning again. I want to share that some of our Heidelberg students, I don't know if they're even here this morning, are having their concert tonight. Is it at St. Mary's? They're in the choir at Heidelberg College, and this is like the last big deal, right? At 7 o'clock tonight at St. Mary's, and they would love to have you come out and enjoy them. I've heard them before this year. They are phenomenal, so you won't be disappointed. But do you need to get there early to get seats? Is this like a sold-out deal where you get in there and you can't find room? Or normally? Okay. Like so all of Tiffin's going to be there, so you want to get there before they do. All right. We've been exploring the truth on God, on who God really is, what God really does, trying to understand his attributes and traits as they're explained to us in the scriptures in the Bible. And one of the really amazing things about God that we're going to be talking about today is, friends, that God provides. God is a provider. Let's set the stage for that with Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says this: "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." How many of your needs do those verses say that God will meet? All of your needs, right? How many of your wants does it say that he'll meet? Well, it doesn't really say, does it? But how many of your needs does it say it'll meet? All of your needs, all of your needs. Let's go to God the provider. One name for God is Jehovah Jireh, and that word means my provider. It's one of God's names in the original text, my provider, Jehovah Jireh. Let's go to him this morning and ask him to provide for us in the word he has for us today. So let's pray. God, I thank you that you are my provider, that I know you and the way that you've provided for my life in so many ways. And Lord, as I was praying with some others this morning, if we just were to take a tablet and a pen and just begin to think about all the ways you provide in our life, if we would allow ourselves to do that and recognize your motion in our lives, I think we would be astounded. Astounded to see all the things that you're doing when we're not even thinking about it. God, we want to connect with Provider God this morning in a way that we haven't before. So speak to us so we can do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We've all heard the phrase, he's a deadbeat dad, haven't we? You heard that phrase before? He's a deadbeat dad. Well, what comes to your mind when you think of a deadbeat dad? If you're thinking along the lines of a custody case and that phrase, a deadbeat dad would be somebody who doesn't fulfill their financial obligations and child support, right? There are some fathers in divorce situations who outwardly may express their love and support to their children, but when it comes to actually providing for them, their children, they refuse to do so. Then there's another category of dads in those situations, fathers in those situations. These are the fathers that do give their children provision. They support them, but they do it reluctantly or begrudgingly, often belatedly. And these fathers often give provision because they don't want to face prosecution. That's really what's motivating them. But there's yet a third category of fathers in these situations, and it's the father who's not only giving support, but he does so because he wants to do it willingly and enthusiastically, promptly every month. He may say something like, you know, I may not have been able to make this marriage work, but these are my kids, they're my flesh and blood, I love them, and I'm going to provide for every need they have the best that I can do. Well, friends, let me tell you something. God, our Father, is not a deadbeat dad. He's not a deadbeat dad. He's not even a begrudged giving dad. And he's also much more than simply a willing and supportive dad. Hear this, as much as it can connect to us today. Friends, God's by nature providing. It's who God is. You can't separate him from it. God is providing. He's provider God. It's his very nature. It's his nature to provide for the needs of those he loves, and that includes you, and that includes me this morning. Now, his idea of our needs and our idea of our needs may be different. And we're not talking about our wants. We're talking about our legitimate needs. The point that we want to catch here is that there's an absolute and unmistakable connection between love and provision. Love and provision. In this case, you can't separate the love of God from his provision. Now, I wonder if I were to gather a random group of people, not from our church, but just out in the public, gather a random group of people and I were to ask them this question, is God a providing God? I wonder what kind of responses I would get. Just a random group of people. You know, I'm guessing that I would get some blank stares. And that I would get some mixed responses. I bet there'd be some people that if they gave their gut response to that question, they'd say, no. No, God doesn't provide for me. I've learned a long time ago that I need to provide for myself. I mean, I work hard at everything I do, to everything I've got in this world. So you just forget about that heavenly handout trash because God doesn't give me anything. Unfortunately, I bet that's the response that some would give. I bet there would be others who would say that if you ask them if God's a providing God, they would say, well, yeah, kind of. I mean, you know, God gives us life and breath and gives us a break now and then, but it's kind of like that's all he does, you know, and he provides the essentials, but beyond that, it's just up to us. But then hopefully there would be some who would know God, who would really know God's nature, and who would be almost offended by that question, who'd say, of course God's a providing God. All through history, God has bent over backwards to demonstrate his love for his children, put stockpiles of blessings and provision upon them, and I can attest to it. And that, folks, those people could tell you time after time, story after story, of how God miraculously provided for their lives. So my question for you today is, what if you're one of that random group? And I were to ask you that question, is God a providing God? What would your gut response be to that question? Your gut response. Are you a pull your boots up by your own bootstraps kind of a person who says, well, God just provides the bare essentials? Or are you one who could share story after story of how God has provided in your life? Now, friends, your opinion on this question is really important to me. It really is. But you know what's even more important to me is the truth on God on this matter. What the truth on God really is. What's the truth? Do we or don't we serve a providing God? Because, you know, the answer to that question is really important to all of us. I mean, if I'm on my own, if God isn't going to give me any help in this world, then I want to know that, don't you? And if God only is going to reluctantly provide the bare essentials, then I want to know about that. In the same way, if I'm in a relationship with a God that takes great delight in providing support and resources for me, then I want to know about that, because God's provision or his lack thereof is going to determine to a great extent how I plan for my future, how I make decisions, and how much anxiety that I'm going to carry with me along the way. Look, if I'm at drift at sea, all alone on a raft, and there's nobody there to help me, then I need to know that, right? And I have a right to be anxious, don't I? You better believe that I do, and I bet you would be anxious too. But if there's an ocean liner right behind me that's got all kinds of provisions and resources, and there's a loving captain on board who wants to share those resources with me, then that ought to eliminate a lot of the anxiety, shouldn't it? Jesus speaks to a group of people who are anxious. In chapter 6 of Matthew, starting at verse 25 and through to the end of the chapter. Now, I'm not going to read that whole text to us this morning, but let me just kind of tell the story of what's happening here. One day, Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people. And as he looked over this sea of faces, he must have noticed that a number of them looked anxious. You know how you can tell when people are anxious, right? They kind of have that uptight look on their faces. You can kind of see the stress and the worry on them. If I looked really hard, I bet I could find that in some of us this morning. Jesus says to them, he says, do you see those birds over there? See how they flitter over there and they flitter over here? Do you see how every once in a while they'll give out kind of a beautiful little carefree chirp? You see that? Do you see them? Well, look close. There are no wrinkles on their faces. There are no wrinkles on their faces. There are no signs of high blood pressure. No migraine headaches, no psychiatrists. They're just happy little birds soaring through the air. And Jesus says, guess what? Those birds are carefree. They don't worry because God provides for them. And guess what? Those little birds aren't nearly as important to God as you are. Then Jesus says, well, maybe some of you aren't into birds. I'm not necessarily into birds. Maybe you're not into birds. Maybe you're more the horticultural inclined type of people. So he says, do you see those flowers over there? Do you see those lilies out in that field? See how they gently sway back and forth in the breeze? Do you see it? And see how they extend their little petals, kind of like arms, toward heaven. See how beautiful and at peace those flowers are over there? Do you see them? Do you know what? Not a one of those flowers has a contingency plan. I mean, if it doesn't rain tomorrow, if the sun doesn't shine, not a one of them is going to pull up their roots and move on to a different place. Jesus is saying to those anxious people, look at those flowers, how stunningly beautiful they are. And even though they're here today and they're gone tomorrow, God's provided for all their needs. Jesus is saying God's character can be trusted. His identity is sure. His provision is real. And if you don't believe me, then just look at those flowers over there. If God didn't let them down, then certainly he's not going to let you down. You mean a whole lot more to him than those flowers. You mean a whole lot more to him than those birds. I wish you could learn what the flower has already learned, that God's character, his identity, his provision can be trusted. It can be trusted. I think that one of the reasons that Jesus uses birds and flowers in this illustration is because he knows that when the people he's talking to leave from there, they can remember it. Now every time they see a bird, and every time that they smell or they see a flower, they're going to remember God provides. God provides. I want to give us a thumbnail sketch of the scope of God's provision for us this morning as his children, just a thumbnail sketch. And the first part of that sketch of his scope of provision is this: God is committed to providing for our physical and material needs, physical and material. This isn't to be taken as an excuse for being irresponsible, living wild spending sprees. It's also not an excuse to throw responsibility to the wind. God will provide. No, friends, God calls us to be prudent. He calls us to work. He calls us to be good stewards of everything that he provides for us. This is also not the perversion of truth that's gained a lot of popularity in the past several years around the world called prosperity theology. This is where people teach in an unbalanced fashion that God's obligated to ensure health, wealth, and happiness. Friends, that's not what the scripture's saying here. The Bible's teaching that because you matter so much to God, because you matter so much to God, he's willing to work behind the scenes to arrange, to orchestrate his infinite resources to meet your basic physical and material needs. He's willing, and friends, he's wanting to do that. There are times where you have physical and material needs, and God's going to come to rescue you. He's going to provide you with an opportunity, an open door, an answer to your prayer. Caroline and I have watched that happen with God in our lives many times. Sometimes he's answered prayers that we've not even asked. He's provided in ways we've not even asked him to do. He's gone before us. He's gone with us. He's gone behind us to be our provision. And I want to share with you one of the ways that God provided for us at one time, how he worked his provision for us in physical and a material way. When we moved to our last church before coming to Old Fort, we were coming from a church that didn't have a parsonage for us. Because of that, we had bought a house. We were homeowners. Well, maybe I should say that we were mortgage owners. The bank was the homeowner, and we were stewarding the monthly payments. When we moved to the church that we served in Amelia outside of Cincinnati before we came here, we took a cut in my income But we did so because there was now a parsonage in the package. That's the way it kind of works sometimes. So we would no longer have a mortgage. That is after we could sell the home that we already owned. Friends, it took us 7 months to sell that home. Now, 7 months may not sound like a long time for people who've had to wait years to sell their homes. I know that happens sometimes. But when your income is no longer able to sustain your mortgage payments because you're part of a new salary package that's including a parsonage that you're living in, that can make things pretty difficult for the other home that you still own. Well, let me tell you about what God, our provider, did for us in that move. Shortly after we arrived in Amelia, we received a fairly substantial check in the mail. Now, it wasn't substantial by Donald Trump or Bill Gates' standards, but by our standards then and now, it was pretty substantial. The check came from some Christian friends of ours who wrote a note that said something like, "We missed giving to you in the love offering that the church took before you left. We believe that God wants us to bless you with this gift. But because it's from God, don't call us and don't send us a thank you note. Just receive it and allow it to be a blessing." Some of you know what it's like to be living in one place and paying the mortgage and utilities in another. Some of you have gone through that before. And even though we weren't living in that house that we owned any longer in another city, we moved in November. And it was one of those pretty cold winters, so we were having some pretty substantially high gas bills to pay along with the mortgage. But friends, God is our provider. And that check that we received was just enough, almost to the penny, to pay all of our bills and our mortgage for that house until we sold it 7 months later. And do you know what? When God called me and my family to go to Amelia to serve, he already went ahead of us. He already knew exactly what we would need to get through. And he sent it to us through a couple of others who were his servants. And if you ever feel like God is prompting you to be generous in some way to another person or to a family, don't you dare hesitate. Just do it, because maybe you're part of what God wants to use to be his provision to somebody else, the way that somebody once did for us. Our God is a loving heavenly Father who delights in providing for the needs of his children, but not just in a material and physical sense. In the scope of God's provision, we also come to number two. God is committed to providing for our emotional and psychological needs. Emotional and psychological. Listen, God knows when you need a friend. He knows when you need an extra touch of his presence. He knows when you need encouragement. He knows when you're just plain worn out and you're not sure you can go another step. Listen, God knows. God knows that. How many times have you reached what seems like the end of your rope and God just brings you some promise or a person or an opportunity or a letter or a card or a gift at just the right time, just when you need it, just to get you through to meet your emotional and your psychological needs? God delights in doing that. I can't tell you how many times I've received a card, a note, or an email just at the right time, just when I needed it. They've come at times where I've needed to be affirmed or encouraged, sometimes right when I'm just needing a real boost. When I began ministry, just out of college, almost 25 years ago, I started as a director of youth ministry in a church. And the man who had been my mentor, who had been my youth pastor, told me, "When you go, I want you to start a file and call it your friendly letter file." He told me to keep in that file, put it in my filing cabinet, and keep in it any notes or cards or letters of encouragement that people would give me from time to time, just to stick it in that file. And then he told me this. He said, "There are going to be days in ministry when you're going to feel discouraged, you're going to feel tired and unappreciated, and you may even wonder why in the world you're doing this." And he said, "When you do, you get that file out and you read some of those letters and cards and notes that people have given you over the time you served and over the years." Friends, I still have that file, and it's in my filing cabinet. It's now the biggest file I have. It doesn't even fit in a file folder any longer. It's in a plastic bag in my filing cabinet, and it's about that wide. God has a way of bringing us encouragement just when we need it. And oftentimes, he does it through others who know him. And look, I know that there are also those times where it feels like that friend, that encouragement, they just aren't there. They just don't seem to be showing up. You know, I know where you're coming from because I've been there also. I don't have an easy answer to those times other than to say that they won't last forever. And God has something even greater for you in what he's doing. Sometimes he's using those times to work out something in your life, perhaps a greater satisfaction and dependence just to be his, on him. Maybe he's wanting you to take the first step to reach out to another brother or sister in Christ for support, the support that you need. But listen and hear this closely. God will provide what you need. He will. Trust him, he will. The book of Psalms in the Bible is full of writings from different people. David, who's described as a man after God's own heart, is one of those people, and others are there. And many of the writings in the Psalms are filled with joy and praises and celebrations about God. But there are also many times that they're a whole different tone to what's written there. Sometimes the psalm writers, including even David, a man after God's own heart, sometimes they were downright sad, depressed, lonely. They're looking for God to provide for their emotional and psychological needs. And sometimes they were simply just crying out to God, I want to know where you're at, God. And I want you to know that every time, at just the right time, God provided for them. He met the cry of their heart. One of those psalms is from David. It's Psalm 13. And listen to this discourse from David that he's having about God and his sadness. Listen to this. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? David is so emotionally distraught, friends, that he's feeling forgotten by God. God, where are you? Did you know that any such words like that were in the Bible? They are, because God meets all of our needs. The Bible says he demonstrates by meeting our emotional and psychological needs and provisions as well. And then David goes on. He says, how long will you hide your face from me? Friends, David can't even see God right now. God, it's so dark, I don't even know where you're at in my life. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Do you hear what's going on here, friends? David is fighting a dark night of his soul. He's fighting depression. Have you ever been there? Guess what? It's not unspiritual for you to have that kind of wrestling. It only makes you human, and human emotional psychological needs can be met by God. How long will my enemy triumph over me? David feels like he's losing the battle. He's losing this emotional battle. The enemy's about to triumph over him in his mind. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy says, I have overcome him, and my foes rejoice when I fall. Listen, friends. David is at his lowest of lows here in this psalm. He's facing thoughts of death in his mind. That's one of the scariest places that you can be in emotional despair. But as I finish this psalm, I want you to hear where David turns to find hope, to find his provision. He goes on to say, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. What's David do here? What's he here with his do here with his last emotional strength, with all he can pull together, all that David has left? He turns all of his attention to God, his provider. And this is really important for those who find themselves in that kind of despair. When David's hope is failing, David turns his heart and his mind to God's unfailing love. He turns to the only place that he can find salvation, to God. And then he actually begins to sing to the Lord and to focus his thoughts off of himself and his thoughts onto God. How difficult is that? This has got to be one of the hardest things to do when you're feeling really low, but it's the best answer to your lowness. When your thoughts and your feelings have turned absolutely to despair, have turned completely inward focused so that you don't see all the good that's resting around you, if you can muster enough strength left of the energies you have to turn your eyes back to Jesus, you'll find your provider is ready to respond. Push yourself to sing praise to God. Even though you're feeling despair, even in your low feeling in your heart, remember how good he's been to you and realize that he's never left your side. He's never left your side. He will lift you up. He will provide for you in your emotional and your psychological needs. But listen, friends, the scope of God's provision goes even deeper than our emotional and our psychological. It goes beyond our physical and material needs. It goes beyond our emotional and our psychological needs. As a child of God, you matter so much to God that he's committed to providing the greatest need that you have. Number three, God is committed to providing for the spiritual needs, for your spiritual needs. You see, the thing is, you can have everything physically and materially blessing you in your life that's known to humankind. You can be really healthy emotionally and psychologically, yet you can still have a hole right here. Right here in your heart, right here in your soul, that can only be filled with God. And God says, I will meet that need. I will meet that need. I know what your spiritual need is. And it has two parts. One, you need to know my love for you. And two, you need to know that I've given the provision for your forgiveness, for your sins. God says, I love you so much that I gave my only son for your sins, all in order to meet your spiritual needs. Probably the most known verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's greatest provision for us comes out of his love. He gave his only son for you and for me so that he could provide for your spiritual need of knowing his love and knowing forgiveness. You see, if we don't have Jesus and his forgiveness, the spiritual need isn't covered, then we've got nothing, friends. Everything else met in your life will not make you fulfilled if you've not had this spiritual need met. So what we find, friends, is that the scope of God's provision stretches to the ends of the earth, our physical and material needs, our emotional and psychological needs, and most of all, our spiritual needs. God delights in providing for our needs, which leaves us with a question of exactly who is it that God's providing for? I mean, sure, he provides for believers. He provides for Christians. What about those who aren't Christian? Does God provide this wonderful support for anybody and everybody? Well, first, let me answer that by saying he wants to. Oh, he desperately wants to. There isn't a person on this planet, a person on the earth who God doesn't want to provide for every need that they have. And secondly, let me say this, in a way, yes, God does supply for everybody's needs. You see, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. In other words, everybody in Seneca and Sandusky counties, believers and unbelievers alike, woke up to the same sunrise today. They have the same opportunity to enjoy the trees and the colors and the breeze and this day. So in a way, everybody's got blessed by God's general provision in life. Breath and opportunity. You wouldn't have breath to breathe. You wouldn't have a body to stand in if God wasn't already providing for you in this general way in your life. However, the Bible's quick to point out that there's a greater provision than just this general provision that God wants to bestow on everyone. But they have to be tapped into the power source of that provision, which only comes in the acceptance of his son, Jesus Christ. Let me see if this illustration helps us to make more sense. If you're a parent, then you know the connection that you have with your child or your children, right? It's a connection like nobody else, right? Now listen, I love kids. I really do. We could have a party out here in the atrium after the service today, or a picnic over in the parsonage lawn, and you could bring all your kids. And I'd love spending time with your kids. I love kids. I'd do almost anything for your kids. But listen, almost anything isn't everything, is it? I would do almost anything for your kids. Almost isn't everything. You know and I know that there's a level of love and care and provision that I share only with my kids. Only with my kids. That I'll never share with anybody else's kids. That is, unless I adopt them and I make them mine. And when it comes to the end of the day and it's time to go home, it's only my kids that get to go home with me. Only my kids. Friends, God wants us all to be his kids. He's provided for us spiritually because he wants us to be in his family. And there are no restrictions of who's allowed to be adopted into his family. Yet some of us will choose not to be. And some of us, by ignoring his presence and his provision for us today, are choosing not to be part of his family. There's a resource of provision that's only available to those who choose to be in God's family, and it's only those who are in God's family who get to go home with him at the end of the day. You see, God made every provision for you and me to be a part of his family. And so now it's up to you and it's up to me. It's our move. The families are open. The price has already been paid. It's your move. All you have to do is receive and trust in God. Let's pray together. God, your provisions for our lives are all around us. That's clear. We have to pretty outright just ignore you to say that that's not clear in our life. The fact that we have a room to sit in today to worship you, the fact that we have clothing on our back, the fact that probably nobody in this room is leaving here today wondering where my lunch is going to come from, other than their choice of a restaurant. The fact that we have air to breathe and we have a job to go to and we're provided for in every way. God, your provision for us is abundantly clear, but it's not just the physical, the material provisions we need. Some of us have battled emotionally and psychologically, and it's been a battle. There's no other better word for it than a battle. And God, we are so grateful to you that you also supply for that need, for the physical, for the emotional and psychological needs that we have. You're there to battle with us. We can't give up on you. We need to trust on you. You're going to carry us through. You will carry us through. And God, there are others that spiritually, we might say that every part of my life seems together, but as together as it seems, there's still this empty void I got inside. There's this empty spot in my soul that I can't fill with anything else. And I'm trying like crazy to fill it with other things. But I still feel empty. It might feel full for a short while, but it leaks. And I feel empty all over again. That's because the only thing meant to fill it is you, God, our provider. You've provided spiritually for us through the death of your son, Jesus. We need to be forgiven by you. We need to invite you in to take that space. And we enter into a whole new world of provision by you. God, I just want to address wherever we're at this morning. If we need some sort of physical provision from you right now, might we just submit ourselves? Just ask it right now. God, I'm not sure how this is going to be met, but I need this physical, material provision from you. If we're feeling the emotional, psychological, God, right now, I've fought this fight on my own too long, and I need you to provide there. And then on the spiritual, if there's anyone in this room that's yet to ask you to forgive their sins, to ask you into their life, that today they would make it the day. God, I don't want to walk by myself any longer. I want to be a part of your family. I want to be able to go home with you at the end of the day. Forgive my sins. Simply just pray that. Forgive my sins. I know I've failed. Come into my heart. Fill the void. provide for me spiritually. Because God, I've realized today that I need you. Lord, we lift these prayers before you and we praise you, our provider, Jehovah Jireh. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Friends, I just want to share with you this morning, as you're looking to God as your provider, if there's something that God has stirred in you on any of the levels we've talked about today, and you want some sort of prayer or support in that, I encourage you to take one of the connection cards in the seats in front of you, put your name on it. On the back is a place you can write a prayer request. There's also places where you can mark if you made some sort of spiritual decision today. But write whatever that concern is. And as you leave today, you'll see baskets on these steps off of the sound booth, and you'll see baskets on a table here. Just drop it in one of those baskets, and we'll get those. And I just would love to be in prayer support for you. Whether you've asked Jesus into your life for the first time today, tell me that if you have, or whether there's some other need that you're facing, I would love to help provide prayer support with you in that. Now we get to move into a beautiful time together, the greatest provision that Jesus ever made, God ever made for us, that while we were yet sinners, God sent his only son to meet our greatest provision, our provision to be able to walk with God in relationship again by giving his own son, whose body was broken for us, and by giving his own son whose blood was shed for us. And every time we take and we eat it and we take and we drink it, we remember again that God is my provider spiritually, that I get to walk in a relationship with God because of what Jesus has done. And if you made that decision for the first time today, I have news for you. This is going to be the most exciting communion you've ever experienced. It's going to be the most real one you've ever experienced. Maybe that is your decision today. As you come forward, you say, I'm going to take his body and blood as a sign of my accepting him into my own heart. We're going to do communion with two stations, by intinction. Intinction simply means you tear off a piece of the bread, you dip it into the juice, and you take it and you eat it, and you tear off a big enough piece that you're not sticking your fingers in there, just stick the bread in there. You'll see two mats on both sides. There'll be a station in both of those places. And just walk. What you'll do is, if you're on one of the side sections, come up the center aisle, or the center aisle, the aisle next to you. There isn't a center aisle. That would be here. The aisle in between the two sections, and then just return back around. And this side will do the same, return around. If you're in the middle, just split somewhere in the middle, wherever you're comfortable. Go with your family. Go to either side. But when you go to the side, if you go all the way to the wall and around to come back to your seat, then we shouldn't bump into each other. If we do bump into each other, do it in love. I want to invite those forward who are coming to serve this morning. Let's just close in prayer today. God, we thank you for the gift of the bread and the cup and what they mean to us. Your son's death and resurrection and our forgiveness of sins. We thank you for that provision for our lives. And God, if you're going to care enough about us to provide for our salvation, to do everything it takes to send your own son, then certainly, God, you want to provide for all the other areas of our life as well. We are not adrift. We are not alone. We are carried by the hands of the providing God. In Jesus' name.